You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I'm a big star, you know.
Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.
This is DCR.
Cassie's sister and her boyfriend. They come and Cassie says, are there any things food-wise that we need to make sure we do before you go back? And they want some pizza. No, it wasn't drive to Manhasset to pick up the pizzas. This was, Rick, I'm going to order the pizzas and what you're going to do is you're going to drive into the city.
Are you kidding me?
Send me to the city.
Pizza could not be good enough for me to drive 3.5 hours round trip for that.
No, it was fantastic.
I got to figure you spent over $400 on dinner, no?
I would imagine. That many pizzas. They were delicious.
You lost all control.
I have no control, none.
This is DCR.
You could have had your driveway plowed 3 or 4 times for that kind of money.
On 98.7 ESPN.
All right, the big 6 o'clock hour. DCR with you right here, 98.7 ESPN. Time now for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. So if you're just waking up, which is understandable, it's just 6 o'clock here on a Thursday morning. It's supposed to be nice outside, by the way. Yesterday was gorgeous. No wonder you wanted to get out and drive into the city. It's like 55 degrees yesterday.
Oh, yeah, perfect day to sit in the car for 3.5 hours.
Beautiful driving weather for you.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah,
was there a glare? Did you wear your special glasses, though?
I did. I actually saw it. It was actually an article today, too, that I hope Cassie doesn't see.
People that wear glasses are like 3 times less likely to get COVID. I saw that.
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't know how you're supposed to do it, though. I tried. Like, even yesterday, I was wearing my sunglasses, but I don't know how to position the sunglasses where they don't fog up.
I don't. And I'm being sincere when I say this. I don't know that you can. Because I've worn sunglasses while I'm driving before, and I've had the mask because people have been in the car, and I don't know how you can make that work. In fact, I don't think you can.
I think you have to wear, I'm not even joking, and I'm probably not going to try this, but I'm sure my wife will make me try this. You need to almost wear swimming goggles. like the only way.
Can you imagine if you walked into the pizza store yesterday, traveling an hour and a half, and you walked in with swimming goggles?
I wear a swim shirt.
My pizzas, please. you're completely out of your mind.
It's Scuba Steve.
I mean, I'd like to collect. You'd be like the guy with the stapler from Office Space. I'd like to get my 40 pizzas, please, right now. All right, Mr. DiPietro, that was $800. That's fine.
Yeah, we're gonna need a bigger vehicle. Your wife ordered 87 pizzas.
I told her that you should bring the SUV, Mr. DiPietro. I don't know what happened. All right, so the conversation was Rick. I mean, crazily drove into New York City from Long Island for dinner for his family and did it in the afternoon hours. How insane is that? And
don't
have you ever done anything similar? That's right. Don't be a Rick. We'll get back to Domingo Germán in just a moment. Let's go to Barry in Islip. Barry, you're next up on 98.7 ESPN.
How are you today?
What's going on, Barry? How are you?
Good, thanks. Just want to let you know, Rick isn't as crazy as everybody thinks. When I have a day off, I get in the car in Central Islip, Long Island. I usually start at about 1 o'clock in the morning. And I drive down to East Earl, Pennsylvania, 129 Cottage Drive, to the Shady Maple Smoldus Board Buffet. It's a place. It looks like a place you want your wedding catered. That's the size of this place in the gorgeous summer. The food is sensational. I've been doing this trip for 17 years.
Barry, how long is this trip? What are we looking at here?
It's 385 miles. It usually takes me about 4.5 hours.
You drive 400 miles to get food?
Oh, yes. What got me addicted is something called baked French toast. They take the collie bread and they bake it. They take it out, they doctor it up with syrup and pecans, and then they steam it. By the time it finishes, it tastes like pecan pie, but not sticky and gooey. Then I get the cream chip beef, the scrapple. The eggs taste like they were just laid. You have food, it's one of the 7 wonders of the world.
Barry, what we've now determined this morning, What we've now determined is Rick is crazy and you are crazier. 400 miles for breakfast?
Yes, Dave.
You leave at 1 in the morning, Barry?
Yeah, next time I go, if you guys want, I'll bring you some back.
You might as well. I mean, you obviously have time to kill. That, I mean, come on. That's certifiable.
I respect it. I'm actually have Barry pick me up on the way. Just swing by, pick me up.
400 miles?
That's a lot.
You know, he works in Oklahoma, as a matter of fact, daily. Just goes back and forth. Oh, my God.
That's on his day off, too.
He leaves at 1 in the morning. 1 in the morning. Let's the voice of reason. Mike in Staten Island. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, guys. How are we today?
We're good. Very good.
You guys are missing the biggest problem with this whole story. Rico went to New York City for Detroit-style pizza. He could have added a couple more hours onto his trip and went to Detroit itself for the amount of time it took him to go there.
Yeah, I mean, I'm lucky she didn't put me on a plane and send me to Detroit to go pick it up.
Right? 3.5 hours? I mean, come on. For Detroit-style pizza? You don't go into New York to get New York-style pizza?
This is what she wanted,
Mike.
The
only place I would go, I'd drive to Staten Island for some gabagool, guys. That's about it. But I don't know, guys. I'll hang up and listen.
Yeah, don't lump me in. Don't. I don't know, guys. This is all Rick.
This is what she wanted. This is the kind of pizza that she wanted. She loves this pizza.
I will
don't
tell
be
you this,
a Rick.
And I mean this sincerely. You're a very good husband.
I appreciate that. Thank you very much.
I mean, the fact that you would, and you're a busy guy with three little children, all under the age of 6 years old. The fact that you would get into your car midday, beautiful day. You could have walked around your grounds yesterday in Palatial Estate and taken the kids out for drone flying. But no, Cassie says, we want pizza. You get in the car and you drive into a metropolis, a thriving metropolis known as New York City. Get the pizza, spend so much money, turn around and drive it home. You're a good husband. You're a good husband.
I appreciate that. We went back and forth yesterday. I forget what I did. And I'm like, see? Her mother's name is Deb. I'm like, see, Deb? She doesn't appreciate this. She takes me for granted. And Cass is like, no, I don't. I said, you know what? I'm calling. I want to do wife swap. Let's do wife swap where we change spouses. And then you tell me if the grass is greener. You don't realize how good you get it. She's like, no, that's fine. You're right.
I don't think anybody has greener grass than what Cass has right now.
I don't even know if I have grass at this point with my...
Yeah, you got a green thumb, baby.
My lawn guy.
Your lawn guy. You need me to help you with the vendors is what you need. You want me? You can make a list. Make a list of the vendors you'd like me to call. I'll call them up and I'll take care of business.
Yeah, but this concerns me a little bit. If all of a sudden you start bullying vendors, now I have to deal with the repercussions of you like bullying these vendors. Like the plow guy. I have no idea what's going to happen now with you and this plow guy.
He was lovely. And he had a beautiful Australian accent, and I walked out to him. I said, I wasn't belligerent. I wasn't angry. I wasn't nasty. I said, listen, there's no snow. I don't need you to plow. He's like, oh, mate, I understand. I was like, good. I appreciate it.
You just made the list! I don't understand where you got an Australian plow guy from. That's another thing that would concern me. Is he good looking?
He wasn't unattractive.
Oh, so this is an issue now. This is a problem.
Well, I don't think I have a crush on the plow guy.
I'm not talking about you.
Enough in my own masculinity that I can find another man to be attractive.
I'm not talking about you. You know how women feel about accents. Now all of a sudden this guy comes rolling up, handsome guy. He's going to be doing more than plowing your driveway is what I'm saying.
Yeah, I understand. He really could give new meaning to the word double plow, huh?
That's
what you're saying. Let's go to Kyle.
I don't want the double plow today.
No, East Patchogue. Good morning, Kyle.
Hey, good morning, guys. Just got to say, I really appreciate you guys for always being on the radio. You always keep me entertained in the morning. I followed you around your different time slots. But I called to comment on the caller that said Shady Maple.
Oh, God.
That is... I was astonished when he said that because that is an amazing place. Basically, it's like a buffet that you could just eat anything that you want, like breakfast related, or I think they got dinner and like lunch too.
Wait. But, are you telling me that you also will go to the Shady Maple buffet like 400 miles away?
Yes.
Are you serious?
I'm Patrick. My friend lives out there, so I go visit him, but we go there.
Well, that's different. But are you getting in the car, packing up, and taking a day trip to have breakfast at this place?
Honestly, at that point, it's probably worth it. The last time that I gorged myself to where I almost felt like I was going to die with food was when I went there.
Wow. Place does look nice, Dave. I'm looking at it right now.
I'm looking at it as well. It's a little east of Lancaster, Pennsylvania. I mean, it's not all that far from Harrisburg. It's well past Philadelphia.
I'm going to have to check this place out.
There is no way I would go to this place to eat.
Why? You don't love the buffet?
Because I'm not driving. Rick, 4 hours, 5 hours for breakfast?
Dave, look at this menu, though, Dave. I mean, they got everything at this place.
I can't believe that I'm on the defensive here. Let's go to Dan in the car. Dan, good morning. You're on 98.7 ESPN.
What's happening, guys? I'm an avid Jet fan. I go down to Florida every year for the Jet-Dolphins game. We happen to stumble upon a steak restaurant, JWB's, in Hollywood, Florida. Had the best steak I've ever had. So I would say at least twice a year, me and the woman will fly down to Florida, spend the weekend just so I can go to that restaurant.
That to me is not as crazy. You're going to Florida for the weekend and you're incorporating a trip to a delicious restaurant. I don't find that nuts. I find driving 5 hours each way for a meal to be crazy.
Yeah, I probably shouldn't be saying this or admitting this. The only reason I really go back to Boston is to eat at a restaurant I like.
And Neil sounds like a great husband, huh? Me and the woman?
Me and the woman.
Me and the woman?
Me and the woman, drag her down to Florida.
Is he like Fred Flintstone? Me and the woman?
Have a brontosaurus burger, you know.
Yes, at the Shady Maple Smorgasbord outside
Dude,
of
Shady
Lancaster,
Maple.
Pennsylvania.
Dave, Shady Maple, breakfast 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. You're only talking $9.99.
Yeah, so, $9.99 in meal, $92 in gas to get to the Shady Maple.
I think we go show meeting. We can talk about all sorts of things, pacing, you know, show stuff.
Yeah. Now, would you have to pace yourself appropriately at
yes.
the meal?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, no,
be a big thing.
No. Common misconception with the buffet. You need to eat as much as you can, as fast as you can.
So you can throw up all over them.
Well, no, because now all of a sudden your stomach hasn't recognized how much food you just dropped it in.
You're a savage.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
You're absolutely right.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's turn our attention to the Knicks. Now, Knicks Kings tonight. Did I see? I think I saw this, and you'll know this because you know everything. Elfrid Payton is out of this game tonight.
I believe so, yeah. Elfrid Payton will be out tonight.
Yeah, so maybe you'll see more Derrick Rose or more quickly, and maybe you'll even see Austin Rivers make an appearance. But, you know, it's funny. A lot of Knicks fans seem like they're very pleased with where they are, and I understand that, and I'm pleased as well. But it feels like there's a groundswell, Rick, of this notion, I like where we are, let's not mess with it, let's not make any changes. Not that they said, let's not try to improve this thing, but it's just like, I like where we are, let's slowly build it. My point is, if I can get a star player like Bradley Beal and not give up the farm, I'm very interested in doing something like that.
I don't know how you wouldn't be interested. I mean, I don't know if it's you're protecting yourself or whatever it ends up being. I mean, if you can, you know, with what you have now on the floor, I mean, if you could limit how much of that you have to get rid of, and it can be, you know, a player and then draft picks, I mean, this is a real opportunity. I mean, how many times has a player as good as Bradley Beal become available like this?
Isn't this what we talk about all the time, right? When the free agents are available and you make a play and you don't get them, you say, how are you ever going to wind up with that superstar player? And then you get excited because you have picks, because you have Dallas's pick, because you have your pick, and you have your pick the next couple of years and you haven't traded away. So, but isn't part of the reason that you stockpile all these picks one day to be able to land a guy like a Bradley Beal?
That's what I thought. I mean, part of getting healthy is to give yourself this opportunity where it looks like you're heading in the right direction, you know, coaching staff in place, you have an all-star in Julius Randle. So, I mean, are you as attractive as you could possibly be? No, probably not. But, I mean, this is one of those situations where if Bradley Beal does get traded, you know, the New York Knicks is not a terrible place to end up.
It's not a terrible place. It feels like they have something percolating. You have a head coach that you like. Julius Randle is a nice player. For argument's sake, let's just say that R.J. Barrett has to go back in return in this trade. All right, you know what? You still have Quickly. I don't know what you'd do with Mitchell Robinson, but you still have Julius Randle, and now you have Bradley Beal. So all of a sudden, the pieces start to formulate. And let's be honest, outside of Brooklyn and Philadelphia, do you look at any team that you say, God, that's daunting right now in the Eastern Conference?
that's daunting. I mean, you still got Milwaukee.
They're a nice team, but they always underperform.
Yeah, I know, but you still have Jan. I mean, it still is. They added Drew Holiday. I mean, it's still a really good team.
Listen, the Knicks do not become better than Milwaukee, but can you say the Knicks couldn't be the 5 seed if they were to go and add a guy like Bradley Beal?
They would be much better off than what they are now, where if they're lucky to get in the playoffs, they get whacked in the first round. I think they have a legitimate chance now if you added Bradley Beal to this team. You bring Mitchell Robinson, comes back off injury, like you mentioned. I mean, you got Brad Beal, Julius Randle, IQ, Derrick Rose. You still got Burks and Bullock. I mean, you're talking about a guy who's leading the league in scoring. I don't understand what the... I mean, that's...
Because I think people become excited, and this team is better than anybody thought they'd be. Right? They're 2 games under 500. They've had chances the last couple of games to get themselves back to 500, and they're playing well. And I think that the Knicks fan looks at this thing and says, it's heading in the right direction. I don't want to turn back the clock and make a trade that is stupid that is going to put us behind the eight ball once again. But, I mean, sometimes you have to take a risk. And if I'm trading my pick, and I'm trading Dallas's pick, and I'm trading R.J. Barrett and another piece to land, pick swaps or whatever else it was, to land Bradley Beal, I think I'm willing to take that risk right now.
But I mean, I just don't know how long. I mean, how long do you keep going, pushing this thing down the road, where it's like, we'll just wait? No, we'll just wait. We'll just wait. Like, I heard Alan talking yesterday about Booker. I mean, okay, that sounds great. And, he initially is snubbed from the All-Star game. We all agree. If Devin Booker is a New York Knick, he's 100% an All-Star.
100%.
100%. That's not even the question. So, I mean, is that what the hope is now? You start connecting dots. Well, Devin Booker's got a relationship, with Kenny Payne.
Right, the Kentucky relationship, sure.
Yeah, but so how long do you wait for that? What if that never becomes an option or an opportunity? Like, look at these teams that are obsessed with being young. That sounds great. Yeah, stockpile all these picks and everything else. Tonight's the perfect example of a team that has a ton of young talent that is focused on, picks and everything else, and they're 12-19.
You're talking about the Kings.
Well, yeah, you're going to see it tonight.
Yeah. And they're a more talented team than the Knicks.
Yeah, I mean, look at you'll get a chance to see Halliburton tonight, who the Knicks should have drafted, and then you got Fox.
He was a star player.
So, I mean, this is one of those teams. But again, all these young teams that are like, oh, yeah, we're young, we're exciting, we have all these draft picks and everything else. You still need, in the NBA, you still need that superstar to get you to that next level.
Yeah, I would do it. I really would. Here's what Kay had to say on his show yesterday about the New York Knicks. Let's take a listen.
I'm not knocking them. I'm not criticizing them. They're not good enough yet. That's what everybody has to realize. Don't fall in love and think that this team, once it matures for 2 or 3 years, is going to be Chateaubriand. It's not. It's not good enough. And it might be a killer hamburger and make the playoffs every year. It's not going to win a championship.
The food theme continues on this show this morning, by the way.
But I love Chateaubriand. But there's no one, to his point, there's no one on the New York Knicks that's going to develop into someone as good as Bradley Beal.
No, I don't even think close. I mean, honestly, Julius Randle's far and away your best player right now. If I can add Bradley Beal to Julius Randle, it may be not the way you intended to get two star-ish players, but you now have that on your team.
Yeah, but I think the emergence of Julius Randle into an all-star has kind of has opened up everyone's eyes as to, okay, we already have one all-star now. If we, if we can add someone like Bradley Beal, now we're much further along in this process.
That's right. I mean, it's 30-point-a-game scorer.
Yeah, no kidding. On a team that has, and you saw this last game, is they have no one that can finish late in games, which is going to continue to be a problem. Have you seen their second-half schedule?
Yes. They play Milwaukee twice in the first 10 days.
It's daunting.
It's daunting. Let's go to J-Ron in Jersey. It's very alliterative. J-Ron, you're next up on 98.7.
Hey, what's up, fellas?
What's up, buddy?
Good morning. Good morning. Yeah, listen, I think the thinking about Bradley Beal is it's cool, but it's just one of those things, like the minute the Knicks start doing a little bit better, we're like, let's go get another All-Star. I mean, Bradley Beal is playing right now at All-Star level with pretty much what he would be left with if we traded for him. And they're not really winning that many games there. We don't, there would be no foundation for him to come here. Bradley Beal's more of a finishing piece, and the Knicks aren't ready to add the finishing piece. You get him and you're a 5th seed, and then you're stuck in playoff purgatory. How do you add and better your team that way? Plus, Washington's not going to take what we want to give them. Bradley Beal's going to get a haul close to what Harden got. And what do we have that's close to that?
Well, I think you start with R.J. Barrett. I think you go with your pick and Dallas's pick, and that's the beginnings of what you're going to trade for him. And the guy's what? He's 27 years old? I think you're making a big mistake if you don't make a play for him. A big mistake.
Yeah, but this is the thing, though. We keep, I mean, just keep pushing it down the road. We're not ready yet. He's the finishing piece.
So when are you ready?
Like, exactly.
Like, if you don't make the move to get yourself ready, when will you ever be ready? This team, like Kay said, this team is, let's be fair, their record is better than what they should be. This is not a very talented basketball team right now.
No, talent-wise, they're not. They play great defense, which is, I mean, that's huge because they're in all these games. But, I mean, you have no one even – I mean, Julius Randle is an all-star, and he's played great. He's not at Bradley Beal's level. He's
and you
not.
Think this continues – like, do you think that really consistently Julius Randle can play like this every game all year long? That's a lot to ask for from him.
No, he's going to get worn out in the games where you don't have that second guy step up. R.J. Barrett has a night like he had in the last game, or, you know, IQ is not an option late. Yeah, they're going to struggle to win games. I just don't understand this mentality. Like, oh, he's the finishing piece. We got to wait. We got to wait. How many years do you want us to wait? And you're not going to have...
I mean, this is even
worse, though, Dave. Look at where we're at right now. I mean, look at where we're at. I mean, it's just what kind of in the draft now? We make the playoffs this year. Where's the transcendent talent coming from?
No, you don't get transcendent talent if you're picking in the top 10. If you're going to pick 14 or 16, you think you're going to wind up with a star player if you're the Knicks?
And you trust them too? I mean, everyone's I get it. Everyone's way waxing poetic over Leon Rose. But, I mean, again, missed opportunity, draft picks that everyone loves, is in Obi may turn into a really good player. But, I mean, watch Halliburton tonight. And tell me that on a team that needed point guards, that he wasn't the pick.
That was as obvious as the day is long. And we thought that the night of the draft and threw it out there. Now, the only thing I'll say in his defense is you got Quickly and you feel
you
like...
You could have taken both.
And you wish you had both. I mean, and again, it's not a knock on top, and I'm not saying he's not going to be a good player, but Halliburton looks like he's going to be a star player.
But you needed guards. That's what you need. You need point guards. You can't have enough because you haven't had one. Like, they still, the Sacramento Kings have De'Aaron Fox. They still drafted Halliburton.
Yeah.
Like, you could have had him and IQ. But they, I mean, we threw it out, but we were all being told that the guy they wanted and they were targeting was Obi. And it just hasn't, I mean, so far it hasn't popped yet.
Not yet. All right, we'll get to your Knicks calls. 800-919-3776. And it doesn't mean it won't pop, but it certainly has not popped. And Halliburton looks like a much better player at the moment.
No, but again, here's what concerns me, though, Dave, is that he's not a young kid. Like, it almost feels like
you're right.
I watch him play, like, can he jump through the gym? Absolutely. He's not a great athlete. And was it a man taking advantage of boys in college? And now all of a sudden he's playing against other men, and it's not so easy. You know what I'm saying?
And I hate to be disrespectful, and it might come across as that. He played in the Atlantic 10. It's not even like he played in the ACC where he's going up against the elite of the elite. He played in the Atlantic 10, and he was terrific. But I think you have to take that into account a little bit. And you're right. What is he, 22 years old? It's not like
that's
he's
what I'm
19.
Saying. Yeah, but you're playing against a 22-year-old kid that's developed playing against, you know, freshmen and sophomores. I mean, physically, you can dominate guys like that.
Yep. Yeah,
now all of a sudden you're in a league against big, like against real men with men's strength. I mean, it ain't so easy.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I don't wake up at 4 a.m. to wear a swim shirt.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at DCR on ESPN.
I think this could be our first 6 o'clock hour guest, and that is a man who's up early and raring to go from Sirius and the Nets broadcast and around the horn, and that is the one and only Frank Isola. Good morning, Frank. How you doing?
Boys, what's up? You guys are up early all the time, too.
All the time. Yeah. So we'd love having you on in the 6 o'clock hour. Let's make
you
this
know,
a thing.
I do the show with Brian Scalabrine, and he brought up a good point. Rick could appreciate this. He said if any ex-athlete wants to get up early in the morning, you can definitely get a job in the media because not enough ex-athletes want to get up early in the morning. Obviously, Rick does it. Chris does it. Keyshawn does it. So you guys will always work if you're willing to get up early in the morning.
There you go. Early risers will get work, I guess is what Frank is.
Yeah, well said, Dave. Well said.
You know what? It's early. All right, Frank just established it's very, very early. All right, so Frank, we've thrown this out there, and I don't know that there's a right answer, but we are proponents of the Knicks trying to land Bradley Beal. A, are you? B, what do you think it takes for a team like the Knicks to land someone like that?
Well, you know, the precedent has been set by, obviously, Houston with James Harden. And look at what the New Orleans Pelicans got for Jrue Holiday. And Bradley Beal is a better player than Jrue Holiday. You know, it takes a lot of draft picks, one or two players. I think Tom Thibodeau would be all in on getting somebody like Bradley Beal. He wants to get better. You look at the Knicks, besides the fact that they need a star player, they also need guys that can knock down shots. And what I like what the Knicks are doing is they're trying to make the playoffs this year. There comes a point where this idea of just being a young team, you know, Sacramento's tried to be young now for 14 years or 15 years since they last made the playoffs. And, you know, there comes a point where you need to get better. And I think the Knicks certainly have the assets. Why not? He's going to make your team a lot better. And also, when you have the cap space, and I get it, guys like Giannis aren't available, but this is what's going to make the Knicks more attractive to teams, to players that become free agents. When you're proving to people you're a competent run team, and you also have players, you know, star type of players. That's why I agree with you guys. If you can get them, it's not going to be easy, but why not make a run at it?
So, Frank, let me ask you, I mean, obviously, we'd love Bradley Beal, but we do have an all-star in Julius Randle. What, if you're the New York Knicks, because we have phone calls, you know, Julius Randle is never going to be more valuable. The people that are obsessed with draft picks, you should trade him now. I mean, Dave and I are of the opinion, I mean, he's only, you know, 26 years old. Like, he should be a part of your group moving forward. What would you do with Julius Randle?
If I'm bringing Bradley Beal and I'm trying to keep Julius Randle. Julius Randle, like, you know, he did so much over the summer or during the offseason to improve. Just look at the way that the guy plays, man. I mean, he puts up big-time numbers. He plays hard. The one thing I think most people are surprised by is the way that he shares the ball. You need, you know, you guys are so right about it, because there does come a point, the old expression, kind of let the cake bake a little bit. Guys, you know, are going to be a lot better at 26 than they are at 22 when they first come into the league. This is his time. The guy knows how to play. And he's been playing winning basketball for the most part. I think the biggest issue the Knicks have, it's not that they don't play hard. They play hard all the time. It's not that, you know, they don't defend. The biggest issue with them is three-point shooting. And when we're in a three-point shooting league, and you put better shooting around Julius Randle, how much better will he be? I agree. I'm keeping a guy like Julius Randle.
All right, so Frank Isola with us here, 98.7 ESPN. Walk us through, and again, we'll just have fun with it, what a trade could look like if they were to go after Beal. You got to figure R.J. Barrett is involved. You got to figure you're one. Dallas is one. And take us from there. Continue along.
I think that's what you're talking about. You're talking about multiple first-round picks, and I think the big thing with a lot of these teams are swaps. So, you know, because obviously you can't trade number one picks in back-to-back years, but what you can do is, let's say you trade your 21 pick, then in 22 you could say, we'll give you the right to swap. So if we finish with a worse record than you, you obviously can get that pick. So there's a lot of different ways to do it. I just think it's, you know, my only thing about Washington, if you look at a guy like Tommy Shepard, he runs a team, and, you know, Washington is one of these franchises which I think, for whatever reason, would have a bit of an inferiority complex about New York. I could just see them thinking, if we can get a similar deal someplace else, let's do that, because the last thing we want is for Bradley Beal to become really good in New York and we'll never live this darn thing down. Because I think their baseball team, their football team, their hockey team, I think they all have a bit of an inferiority complex. The people who live down there do when it comes to New York. That's the only thing that would concern me. But if you're being smart and you're Washington, the Knicks are one of those teams in the league that does have the that does have the assets to do it. Very similar to what Brooklyn did. They built up guys like Caris LeVert and Jared Allen. They were able to use them and draft picks to go out and get a guy like James Harden. Think about what that trade did for the Brooklyn Nets. James Harden has been the Nets' best player. I know when you start thinking about the assets you're giving up, you're like, man, we're giving up a lot. And then you look at the results so far and what the player is doing, and Bradley Beal could have that kind of impact, certainly, for the New York Knicks.
Frank, I will say, though, Jared Allen has been balling over the last couple games.
He's terrific. He's terrific. I hated the fact that they gave him up. That dude plays hard. He never says two words. He's like a terrific low-maintenance player. You're right.
Well, you were funny, because I think they asked you a question. I was watching, I don't know if it was the pregame or the postgame, and they were asking you, like, moving forward, like, what could this Brooklyn Nets team use? And I think you said, oh, they could use Jared Allen. that's the kind of player they could use.
You know, it's amazing, like in a league where, you know, it's funny too, because Kyrie Irving's a terrific player, but Kyrie has an opinion about everything. He's a high-maintenance player. He's going to drive you nuts. Jared Allen never did one thing wrong the whole time he was with the Brooklyn Nets. The guy just plays hard. He could defend. When DeAndre Jordan wanted to start, which is the most absurd thing, that he was starting over Jared Allen. Jared Allen didn't say two words. That dude's going to get paid. Think about what Rudy Gobert got. Now, Jared Allen's not going to get Rudy Gobert money, but he's going to get a big-time contract when he becomes a restricted free agent, because that guy would fit in on a lot of teams.
Frank Isola with us here, 98.7 ESPN Sirius, the Nets around the horn. He's a man who wears many different hats in the NBA circles. When we look at the Nets, and I said this a couple weeks ago, and the guys said defensively they're just not at that level, and you watch them play, and they're so talented offensively, and I think they do enough defensively, Frank. I mean, when you look at the Nets, aren't they going to the NBA Finals? Unless something catastrophic happens, if they're healthy at the right time, I find it hard to believe they're not going to represent the Eastern Conference in the Finals.
Yeah, they're so good offensively. And even the other night against Sacramento, there's a bit of an arrogance about them, kind of like what the Kansas City Chiefs had, where they just know that at any time they could score, except the Super Bowl. But, you know, the Nets are so good, and they're so talented. And remember, you know, they've won it seven in a row, and, you know, they won those five games on the West Coast trip. And Kevin Durant has only played in one of their last seven games. And Kevin Durant defends. And the one thing, you know, we all know that Kevin Durant is great, but now that you see him all the time when he does play, you just have a better understanding of how great of a player he is. He's unselfish. He's a team guy. He definitely defends. He's all about winning. He very rarely takes a bad shot. The guy is just a, you know, a brilliant player. And he just elevates everybody around him. And that's what's been so impressive, that they're winning these games. And I thought kind of a signature game for them, and you guys would know this. You know, you're on the road. You're on a back-to-back playing Phoenix. You're down 24. Kevin Durant's not playing. Kyrie's taking the day off. It's easy to kind of give up on that game, and Harden kind of just carried that team along. And they beat a good Phoenix team. And you're talking about defense. They shut Phoenix down the last 250 of the game. Phoenix didn't score a basket. Those are kind of character-building type of wins. And that to me, said a lot about this team, because they will only get better when Durant comes back. It's not like Kevin Durant's going to return and say, all right, I'm now here. Everyone get out of my way, because I need to average 30 points a game. He's not that kind of guy. He knows that by coming here, all the pressure is going to be on him. To win, you leave a great situation like you had in Golden State to come to the Brooklyn Nets. You know, getting to a finals is going to be the bare minimum for him. That's the problem with the great players like LeBron, Kawhi Leonard. That's how you judge, fairly or unfairly. And I think he's taking ownership of the fact that a lot of this is riding on him.
Frank Isola joins us here on the show. Dave, this is exactly why Frank needs to be a regular in the 6 o'clock hour, because he led me into
I love him to
my next question perfectly. So you mentioned that Phoenix game and what James Harden did in that game. I think there's a bunch of different things about James Harden that you love if you're a Nets fan, but the thing I appreciate the most as a former athlete is the consistency. He plays big minutes and he shows up every single night. So I've said over the last week or so that if he continues, which I would imagine he's going to do, to play the way he plays, and Kyrie's going to have maintenance days, and Durant, you're going to be, you know, kids' gloves, that James Harden at the end of the season will be in. He may not win it, but he'll get votes for MVP. Would you agree with that?
Oh, 100%. And first of all, you know, you look at the guy, he's still not in great shape. So, you know, he still needs to improve his fitness a little bit. I've always liked James Harden for this reason. Listen, he lives the life of a single guy, you know, knock yourself out. He's hanging out in Atlanta. He's eating, you know, the lemon pepper chicken wings at that famous place that everybody goes to. I get all that. But the dude loves to play basketball. With Rick, you know this. Not everybody that, you know, not every professional athlete loves to play. The guy loves to play basketball, and I get it. He's had some really disappointing runs in the playoffs, but he was also on a Houston Rocket team as the best player that had the Warriors down 3-2 with Kevin Durant, and then Chris Paul got hurt. They didn't close it out. I get all that. He's had some shortcomings, but look at the way that he plays. He loves to play. He passes the ball. I think he's been really good, and he's kind of held the team accountable. There were a couple of games where they lost where they were awful defensively. He called the team out. He didn't like the fact that they were losing games. He said this could come impact us in terms of home court advantage. The guy works hard. Listen, he clearly took a lot of time off by the time the Rockets got eliminated until the time he started playing basketball, because, you know, he's got like the body of a 40-year-old guy. He needs to get in better shape. But what I appreciate about him, I get it. Go party as hard as you want, but the dude, when it's time to play basketball, yep, he plays hard, and he works at it too.
He certainly does show up. Couple more and we'll let you run, Frank. We know you have other duties in just a moment. How concerned should we be about Anthony Davis with the Lakers?
Yeah, I would be, because I think, you know, first of all, they're not going to win if they don't have him. And when you do have him, if teams want to play big, you're fine. Teams want to play small, you can match up against them. And if Anthony Davis comes back healthy, but you guys know, I mean, at first it was a, you know, sore Achilles, and then they said calf injury. It was a calf injury that Kevin Durant had. That doesn't mean that the same fate is going to happen to Anthony Davis, but you have to be concerned. I say it all the time. You know, when they were in the bubble, you know, it was still LeBron carrying him. Anthony Davis was really good, but Anthony Davis was averaging about three grimaces a game. Every game he'd have an injury where he'd go down, and you're thinking, oh, my God, he might be, like, done. He looks like he's really hurt. He'd go off the court, and then he'd come back on the next possession. He'd have an alley-oop dunk. So he's one of those guys. He just handles injuries differently. So that's what would concern me. I'm just thinking, if I'm LeBron, I played in every game. This guy's so much younger than me. Now he's the guy that's going to be missing more time. That's what it's going to make it really taxing on LeBron. And that game last night, I don't know if you guys were, you know, bothered to stay up, but that game was done by halftime. That was like a walk in the park for the Utah Jazz. The Lakers just didn't have it last night.
So, Frank, I mean, looking at the West, if Anthony Davis doesn't, let's just say for the sake of this question, Anthony Davis doesn't come back at 100%. In the West, do you think, because Dave doesn't think it, he made a bold statement.
I have said there is no way, and you will disagree, and cut me down at the knees, and I get it, Frank. There is no way the Utah Jazz are winning the NBA title this year.
Well, first of all, you still have the Clippers. You know, Paul George, let's assume that he plays better on, like, the bubble when he, you know, really symbolically hit the side of the backboard in that game 7 against Denver. But the one thing about the Utah Jazz, you know, you look at they're on a record-setting pace for three-pointers, which is saying something because, you know, there have been some great Golden State Warrior teams over the years. And what I like about them, they kept their team intact. After what happened with Rudy Gobert being the first known player that we knew about to get the coronavirus, everyone made it seem like he was the one that made the pandemic start for the entire world. It was poor Rudy Gobert. And then it was his relationship with Donovan Mitchell. You can't keep the two of them together. By them kind of keeping that group together, They knock down threes. They share the ball. Rudy Gobert is an absolute menace on defense. Remember, they can, you know, Mike Conley, he hits that shot last year against Denver. They would have knocked off the Denver Nuggets. So it was a lot closer last year in the playoffs where maybe they could have been the team that makes the run. I think to Dave's point, late in the game, is it going to be Donovan Mitchell, the guy that can take over and make a shot? Is it going to be kind of an ensemble cast? Which, to be fair, the Detroit Pistons did that, and they won a title and made it back to a game 7 the next season. I think they can do it. Donovan Mitchell is going to have to become a little bit better of a closer late in some of these playoff games, but that team's legit, and Quinn Snyder is a terrific coach.
Yeah, and let's not forget, too, I mean, Jamal Murray played out of his mind in that series.
He's one of the bubble guys. You look at all these, you know, look at the teams that were in the bubble. I understand Miami's had COVID issues, but they're struggling, Denver's struggling, Boston's struggling. All, you know, you take the bubble off these teams, the bubble wrap, and they look a little bit different this season.
All right, Frank, last one for me. At the time, Dave and I were talking about this going back and forth when the Knicks were on the clock with the draft. And you know this, covering the Knicks. They haven't had a point guard in forever. And we both said everything we heard is Halliburton's the guy. Halliburton's the guy. And then we were told, no, they're targeting Obi. Should I... First of all, Halliburton's already emerged as he's a stud. Should I be concerned about Obi a little bit so far from what we've seen?
I mean, it's so early. The one thing I'll say, when watching him, Tyrese Halliburton the other night, man, it's like kind of like he reminds me a little bit of Kerry Kittle. He's got a little Sean Livingston in him as well. He's a good player. And the thing is can he be a point? Is he a point guard? I don't know, but he's a guard, and I know that the guy could play. He's got a funky looking shot. But I think he was like 4 of 8 or 4 of 9 the other night against the Brooklyn Nets. He's good. That one would concern me a little bit. And that's the thing about having these high draft picks. You know, when you hit, it's great. When you don't, it kind of sets you back. Because if you look at Miami, you know, last year, two key guys were Tyler Hero and Bam Adebayo. They weren't lottery picks. That's what always drives me nuts about, like, lottery picks. Yeah, it's great if you have them, but it's not about having them. You have to hit. You have to end up getting good players. If you don't, it doesn't matter because, you know, Minnesota always has high picks. Look where they are. And then the one year they made the playoffs with Tom, they were so miserable that they had to get rid of the coach. It was the last thing they wanted to do was have Tom interrupt their vacation plan. And then you look at, you know, Sacramento's that way. All these young, everybody, the fans love being young and athletic. Why don't we go recruit a track team? We'll be young and athletic for the rest of our lives.
There you go. Usain Bolt at small forward. Frank, great stuff, man. Enjoy the rest of the day. We will talk to you soon. Appreciate it.
All right, guys. Keep up the good work. Take care.
All right. Appreciate it. He's excellent. We should make him a staple of the show. I'm a big fan.
I think he has to be.
Isola.
I think he has to be. He's our basketball guy. He has to be.
I'd like that. I would love that. All right, time now for Straight Talk. Your tax return could look different this year, but you're still going to hear a lot of noise about how to spend it. So when the big carriers tell you to splurge on the latest nonsense, just tune it out. With Straight Talk, you can get Samsung Galaxy A51 for just $199, plus get the $45 unlimited talk, text, and data plan with no contract on America's best networks for up to 50% less. Tune out the nonsense. Tune into Straight Talk. Straight Talk Wireless, no contract. And no compromise. All right, Rick, the time is yours to shine. A little segment we like to call Nobservations.
Rick DiPietro consumes more media than anyone on this planet.
Great point, Rick. It's another genius point by you.
And these are his Nobservations.
We could have called it Rick's Observations, but, you know, it's Rick we're dealing with here.
Yeah, let's go testy and then Nob.
Here's your host, Rick DiPietro.
All right, here we go, David. Just quickly before we get into my favorite of today's Nobservations.
Yeah.
Have you seen this? I know your kids must be big fans.
Oh.
Have you seen that the Mighty Ducks is coming back?
It's going to be a series now, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. On Disney Plus, is that what I've seen?
Disney Plus, Game yep. Changers, premieres March 26th.
Will Emilio Estevez be in this?
Of course he will.
Nice. I think we'll have to watch it as a family.
He's running his own hockey rink now.
Oh, really?
In the new series. Oh, yeah.
Do you look Gordon at him as like iconic? Like a figure you'd like to one day turn yourself into in the hockey genre?
Gordon Bombay?
Yeah.
I would like to get a rink opened, if I'm being honest.
See?
I mean, I think that would just help my high school team having our own rink.
I agree.
Yeah, I'd be like Hans. Work in the pro shop, do the
yep.
skates.
Yep.
That seems like a nice life, though, doesn't it? It seems
yeah, it
like
does.
A nice life.
Yeah, set your own hours, hire someone to work the unconventional hours. Be beautiful.
Have Milo drive the Zamboni.
Yeah, well, I don't think a five-year-old on the Zamboni is the way you want to go with it, though.
he keeps reminding me, Dad, I'm pretty much six, Dad. So, well, your birthday's not, I mean, we've got a couple days still. Yeah, but Dad, come on, it's a couple days. I'm pretty much six.
Let me revisit my comment. I don't think you want a six-year-old on the Zamboni.
He actually drives well, surprisingly. He's actually a pretty good driver, believe it or not.
I don't want to go any further here. You could get arrested for child endangerment.
No, I'm not saying vehicles. I'm saying like his power wheels. Like if I ask him to back
okay.
his, like he can actually, like I can't back up. I can't back up. I'm awful. I can't
what,
for some reason
in a regular car?
I can't back up in a straight line.
Of course, today's Monday. I always drive the car on Saturday. I never drive on Monday.
You can't back up. There's a camera.
I know, but I can't go straight for some reason. I don't know when my face got broken. For some reason, my right eye doesn't work right.
All right.
When something's not... Like, I'll set something up, for example, right? I'll be in the gym, and I'll try to set up the bench. And, like, it doesn't look right to me, so I'll bring Cassie, and I'm like, does this look straight? She's like, does this look straight? No, it's completely crooked. I'm like, well, to me, it looks straight. I'm screwed up. I just can't tell anymore.
Well, that's unfortunate. All right, before you complain that you have no time for Nobservations, can you please Nobservate?
All right, here we go. I got some sound for this one. So I've mentioned over the last couple days, and the reason why I asked Frank is because just to hammer home the point was, you know, James Harden will be in the MVP conversation. Dave's like, nah, degenerate Dave goes to the Vegas odds. I got ammunition now. Listen to what Stephen A. had to say about this.
The fact that he had created some controversy because people were calling him out because of how he departed from Houston. You just look at that and we forgot the fact that, excuse me, we needed to appreciate the reality that it clearly wasn't about the money because he was offered a 2-year extension at $103 million and turned it down because he's prioritized winning. And then he shows up in Brooklyn with Kyrie as a teammate, with KD as a teammate, with guys like Jeff Green, Joe Harris, TLC and the crew to appease. And somehow, someway, he takes over ball handling and point guard responsibilities and has played like the best point guard in the game, not to mention the fact that his defense in the post area, showing his strength, he couldn't be pushed around. Just ask Kawhi Leonard how tough he was. James Harden has been nothing short of sensational. He is a league MVP candidate.
How do you feel about that?
I feel that that's great. He's not going to win the MVP. So candidate, fine. I said it yesterday. I'll stand by it today. James Harden will not be the MVP of the NBA. And you can play Stephen A., you can play Frank Isola, you can play yourself. It doesn't matter. He's not winning the MVP.
All right, we'll see.
Okay.
We'll see. You heard it here first.
Mark it down. That's a hot take. Someone's going to be right.
Maybe we should drive to Pennsylvania for some hot cakes.
We'll celebrate after, yes.
All right, let's hit Did It Happen in Florida.
A man's naked behavior outside of his South Florida home, all caught on camera.
Caught on camera in Florida.
Did it happen in Florida?
That was a man in swim trunks who appeared to fall out of the sky.
The man was arrested for riding his bicycle on the front lawn of a Naples home and telling a woman inside he was an FBI agent.
What's the deal, man? Why are you naked?
All right, here we go, David.
All right.
I was going to go with your story because it's a good story, but you sent me the story and we got no canty today. So you already know where the two women, one in her 30s, one in her 40s, they dressed up as grannies with the bonnets, the whole nine.
Yep.
To try to get their second vaccination shot and got busted.
So did it work one time then?
It worked one time. And then the second time, there was a discrepancy with the license. The license they had on their certification to get the vaccine didn't match up with the license that they had. So they got busted. It's going to go with that, but you already know that. Until I came across this one, which is a crazy, crazy story. Did this happen in Florida? A landlord has been charged with kidnapping after allegedly tying up two of his tenants with zip ties and tape, placing pillowcases over their heads, and driving them at gunpoint to a rural cemetery where he dumped them in the snow before dawn on Sunday.
Oh, my God.
He was upset that they couldn't, because of COVID, he couldn't evict them. So rather than evict them, he decided to kidnap them and dump them in a cemetery.
But how does that, you still don't get your money. That's horrible.
I don't get it.
And I can't think that's legal, by the way.
Of course it's not legal.
I'm kidding. So you want to know, did that happen in Florida? I'm going to say no. I'm going to say not Florida.
Not Florida. How about you, Santi? You're a big kidnap guy.
Wait, kidnapping or the kidnapper?
I'm going to actually go one further. I'm going to say it's Northeast. I'm thinking it's near where you grew up. I'm thinking it's like a Boston kind of.
The snow's kind of giveaway, but given the weather that we've had over the last week, it could have taken place in the Midwest somewhere, but I'd say not Florida.
Why did I say snow? That's bad job on me.
Yeah, you know what? We picked right up on it, though.
That's a little hint that you picked up on. You guys are correct. That was not Florida. That was Albany.
Albany, New York.
Albany, New York.
Oh, wow. Right near where the great R.J. Santillo grew up.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Could be R.J.'s buddies that did it.
Yeah, hope they pay their rent. Pay that thing on time.
And there you go, my friends. That is Knobservations, and it did it happen in Florida.
A wonderful edition of both.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I have nothing left.
Hear more of DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.